You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Tis the season to make cookies, and who else to go to for the best recipes than James Beard Award winner Dory Greenspan, whom the New York Times has called a revered icon and a culinary guru. Over the course of her baking career, she's created more than 300 cookie recipes, and she says that for one to be included in this, her 13th book, it had to be so special that it begged to be made again and again. And she's given us over 160 recipes, ranging from simple to spectacular and appropriate for any occasion, grand or small. Dory's Cookies is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and I'm very pleased it has brought her back to our show. Welcome back.
Thanks. I'm always happy to be here with you.
You say you grew up in a cookie family. How is that distinct from a pastry or cake family or a vegetarian gluten-free family?
Well, what's really funny is I grew up in a family where no one cooked or baked. My mother used her oven for a bread box. When she moved to Florida, she called and said, you know, it's great for crackers. They never get soggy. But she had a real sweet tooth. And once or twice a week, she would go to the bakery and come home with a big white bakery box tied with red and white string, filled with great, great cookies.
But do you think because your mother wasn't into cooking that that's the reason you became so serious about cooking?
No, I think I became serious out of necessity. I got married when I was a college student, and my husband had his first job. And I wanted to cook. I wanted to cook for him. I wanted to have friends come and visit us and stay with us. And also, we didn't have an extra penny to go out to eat, so I had to learn how to cook.
You've written a dozen cookbooks, with a few of them specializing in baking. Why did it take so long for you to get to cookies? And should I be suspicious because it's your 13th?
Actually, it's my 12th.
Oh, this is the 12th. Okay.
My 12th. But no, I'm hoping for 13. Actually, I'm working on the 13th because that'll be a baker's dozen.
Uh-huh.
Right? There's nothing suspicious about that. You know, I think I always knew I would do a cookie book, just wasn't sure when. And my last two books were Around My French Table and Baking Chez Moi, so both about France. I lived part-time in Paris, so that was... And I felt I had said what I wanted to say about France, and now it was time for cookies.
Do the French respect cookies? Because it's my sense that cookies get less respect among chefs than other forms of cooking or baking.
I'm laughing because in French, if you say cookie, and the French use the word cookie, it means only one thing, a chocolate chip cookie. So I said to a French friend, I'm writing a new book. It's all about cookies. And he just shook his head and said, do you have that much to say, right, about a chocolate chip cookie? You know, the French have beautiful cookies.
Well, they call it biscotti or...
Right, or gâteau sec, dried cakes. But it's rare to find a French chef who specializes in cookies.
So what makes something a cookie? Is there
a... You sound like my editor. No, because...
After I retire, that's what I'm going to do.
You'd be
edit
good.
Books.
You'd be good. So the reason I said that was I would be like dreaming things. What if meringue were savory? Could I do that? And I would bake it. So I have a savory meringue with togarashi. What if a strawberry shortcake were a cookie? And so I baked a little Genoise in a muffin tin and put whipped cream and a strawberry on it. And Rux Martin, my fabulous editor, saw that and she says, you call that a cookie? I said, my book. But you know what?
But you are pushing the envelope.
And I wanted to. I wanted the two things that I really was hoping for in this book was I wanted to learn something. Every time I start a project, I want to learn something new. I want to have something new to teach, and I want to challenge myself. And so I wanted to see what I could do with a cookie, and I wanted to stretch what a cookie could be.
You said that you think of cookies in your sleep. Have you literally dreamt up a recipe?
The classic jammer, yeah. So I was in Paris. I saw this cookie fully formed. It's a great cookie. It's a shortbread cookie, little jam in the center, and streusel around the edges. Got up in the morning. Well, actually, in the middle of the night, I kind of poked Michael, my husband, and said, I just dreamed about a cookie. It's good. And he kind of just rolled over. He's kind of used to this. Rolled over. But I baked it in the morning, and it was great.
I guess you could also have a nightmare, a cookie nightmare.
That was the licorice cookie. That was terrible. It was terrible.
But one of the things you seem to be encouraging here is improvisation.
Absolutely.
You have a couple of basic approaches, and then you say, play with this.
I love that. I want people to enjoy baking. This I'm putting on my baker's evangelist hat. I want people to enjoy baking the way I do, to love the process and what they make, and to be able to make things that they will really love. So if you don't like the pecans that I'm putting in something, I want you to put chocolate chips in. I want you to do what you want.
So you have two basic recipes. Do almost anything vanilla cookie dough and do almost anything chocolate cookie dough. And they work as a base for a lot of different cookies?
Absolutely. So both doughs can be made into logs for slice and bake. They can be scooped. They can be rolled out and cut. If you're looking to make a cookie plate for Christmas, you could make these two doughs. In the book, there are four recipes for each dough done. You have eight different cookies, and Christmas is there.
And then some recipes have this thing on the side that you call playing around.
Yeah.
To suggest that we shouldn't be limited. Is that a problem, do you think? That because there was a time when recipes would be very unspecific, and now a recipe is exactly 1 1/8 teaspoons of this and
It's funny.
Two cups plus one little drop more of that.
Yes, and I try to be as detailed as possible in my recipes so that people will be successful. Because, you know, as a cookbook author, all you want is for people to make what you've written and love it and feel good about themselves and share it. But I also, as I said, want to give people a little freedom. So after you've made the recipe with that one cup and a drop, don't change the one cup and a drop, but change the shape, change the flavor, add something new to it, ice it. So I give you suggestions so that you can go off on your own and personalize them.
Does a cookie have to be made without yeast to be considered a cookie rather than bread or some kind of pastry?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that in a definition. And in fact, there's one recipe in the book that is made with yeast. I hadn't thought about as a definition. So there.
Well, how complicated is using yeast to make a cookie compared to using it in cake or another kind of pastry?
There's just this one recipe, and it's like a faux make it very quickly in a food processor puff pastry. Mm-hmm. So that little bit of yeast just helps the dough. You don't have to let it rise. It's so much easier. You just use it the way you would use baking powder.
You have a strawberry shortcake cookie.
Yeah, that was the one that Ruck said. A cookie? Really?
Uh-huh. Well, I was thinking about that licorice again. How is that all that different from anise? Would it have worked better with anise, however you pronounce that?
I say anise, you say anise. Mm. It would have worked better with anything. I was trying to take little licorice candies and melt them and use them in, because I had seen Jean Georges do that about 30 years ago. And it came back to me, and I thought, I wonder what it would be like with chocolate. Hmm. Maybe he could have made it better than I did.
There's a fabulous chapter on savory cookies, or as most of us call them, crackers.
Though they're not all crackers. I had so much fun with this chapter because I wanted to do cookies, and some of them are crackers, that you would enjoy with anything but milk. And so there are, there's a chocolate olive cookie, there's a rosemary Parmesan cocktail cookie. There's one that has all the flavors of an everything bagel in the cookie. And that was a stretch for
And
the
then your cocktails
verse.
Come to mind.
And then cocktails come to mind. So I was out having a cocktail with a friend, and I was looking at the menu, and there was a cocktail called Bee's Sneeze, and it had ginger, honey, lime, and gin. And I looked at the menu and said, I could bake that, and that became a cookie.
Now, what's your process for doing a book like this? Do you look at other people's cookie recipes?
I look at everything. Mostly, ideas come, like that cocktail cookie. I'm a kind of loosey-goosey worker, so I don't have a list ahead of time saying this is what I want to make. I bake by inspiration and by what ingredients I have. When I travel, I'm always looking for a recipe. People send me recipes. So inspiration comes from all over.
And are there people you use as tasters, testers?
So I have my fabulous, reliable recipe tester, Mary Dodd. And then I practice something that I call bake and release. So I bake cookies and then send them out into the world. And yeah, I have a lot of people who taste.
My guest is Dori Greenspan, whose latest cookbook is called Dori's Cookies. Are cookies easier than most genres of baking? Because more forgiving than pastry, even a pie crust, less complicated than cakes?
Yes.
And you say, go ahead.
Well, yes, and there are, you can have a cookie that's complicated, but for the most part, cookies are kind of the gateway to baking. If you are slightly intimidated by baking, which I hope no one is, but I know you're out there, cookies are the way to get started.
And you say that cookies are the perfect party gift, better than bringing a bottle of wine?
Well, in France, you're not supposed to bring a bottle of wine because it's assumed that your hosts have already gone down to their cellar and chosen the wine, right? So cookies are a great gift. And actually, you know what's a fabulous gift? There are so many slice-and-bake cookies, so where you would prepare the logs and put them in the freezer. Prepare the logs, bake one log, bring that to dinner along with the frozen log. And so then you have like now and later cookies.
Didn't you and your son have a cookie shop in New York City?
We
called
did.
Butter and Sell, Butter
yes.
and Salt?
Yes. Yes. And
but no, not sugar.
It didn't just, yeah, I guess it could have been beurre et sel et sucre aussi, a little long. We had beurre and sel, and we closed the shop, and for a long time afterward, even now, people will say, will you do it again? No, not happening. But I always said that I would put the recipes in a book one day. And that was when I started Dori's Cookies. That was the only chapter that I knew for sure would be in the book.
Were the World Peace Cookies your most popular? Because I gather your recipe has been downloaded, 35 million times?
Oh, it's a crazy, crazy number. So that's a recipe that the French pastry chef Pierre Hermé gave to me.
Oh, 59 million times.
Something yeah. totally crazy.
Pierre Hermé gave it to you?
Yeah, maybe 1999 or so. And I had published it as the Korova cookie because that's what he called it. And a neighbor of mine stopped me and said, I love that cookie, but we call it the World Peace Cookie because if everyone in the world had this cookie, peace. And I think the name made it so crazy popular, but the cookie is, I never like to say I have, this is my favorite cookie, but it's an amazingly good cookie.
And since there are 36 per recipe, 59 million people making them, you'd think we'd have world peace by now.
If only. If only. The other day somebody said something about on Twitter that the world peace cookies disappeared so quickly. And I thought, yeah, world peace should be eternal. And world peace cookies should just disappear quickly.
Well, maybe some people aren't sharing their cookies. Mm-hmm. In looking for ingredients, I'm assuming that when you were testing these, you were testing them not using fancy French butters.
Oh, absolutely
such.
Not. No, all of the ingredients, with very few exceptions, come from the supermarket. So I use as much as I can. I want to use ingredients that everyone can get their hands on quickly because when the urge to bake strikes, I want nothing standing in anybody's way.
Now, we have a recipe from the book on our show page at wmic.org/lopate, the Little Rascals cookie. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so the Little Rascals cookie is, I only discovered that that's the translation of Spitzbuben, which I remember having as a child. So it's a nut cookie.
Oh, I thought it had alfalfa. Bad joke, I'm sorry.
Or buckwheat.
Yes.
Right? So it's a nut cookie that's you put jam on at the end and you sprinkle with confectioner sugar. It's not difficult to make, but it always looks beautiful. It looks like a pastry shop cookie.
In your associate song, you use raw dough and raw eggs. Should we go organic there?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely go. Definitely organic eggs if you're having them raw. And obviously, you don't want to give raw eggs to anyone whose immune system is compromised, to pregnant women, to little babies. But healthy people, organic eggs, it's fine.
Just one more thing before you go. One of the big problems people have with baking is that ovens seem to be really uneven. People will say, oh, my oven runs a little hot. Or if I put this in one side of the oven, I'm going to get a very different response than if I put it in the other side of the oven. How do you get around to that?
Well,
because you can't use an oven. You can't stick a thermometer into a cookie the way you do a chicken.
No, you can't. So you should really get to know your oven. If you know you have a hot spot, then you want to rotate your sheets. I try and give everyone visual clues as well as time. And so if any recipe gives you a range like from 12 to 15 minutes, start looking at 11 minutes. And if it goes to 16 or 17, that's okay. Get to know your oven so you know if it runs hot or slow.
So actually kind of set a timer for slightly less than the recipe calls for.
And take a
look at it and then see how much more time you think it's going to need.
Yeah, you know, you need to know your oven and you need to trust yourself. You're going to have to make very few in baking, judgment calls. Actually, I think you make fewer judgment calls in baking than you do in cooking. But visual, I can usually, if I'm sitting at my desk working and I smell a cookie baking in the oven, I'll jump up and I'll get there usually just as the timer rings. So use your senses when you bake, your sense and your senses.
The smell actually tells you when a cookie is ready.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on our show again.
I loved being here with you again. Thank you for having me.
Dori Greenspan is the James Beard Award winning author of many cookbooks. The one we've been discussing, her latest, is Dori's Cookies. It is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Got lots of wonderful pictures as well.
Lovely pictures.
I felt like I was putting on weight just looking through the book.
That's a good thing. Pictures are supposed to entice that way.
Thanks again.
Thank you.